We're not terribly optimistic at the moment. I'm sure you've heard that there's a lot of dispute over currency that you referred to that we expect to dominate at this summit. So even though this is the first summit where the G20 will launch an official development agenda, we're not expecting great things, partly because we're expecting the development agenda not to have learned enough lessons from the economic crisis. So we expect it still just to be seeking to go for growth and growth at any cost and not learning the lessons that we need growth that creates jobs and reduces inequality and that focuses on the very poorest people.
Now, you've written a paper calling on the G20 summit to think small and act big by focusing, among other things, on the needs of poor farmers and small and micro businesses owned by the poor. Why is this so important? Can you explain?
Certainly. We've seen countries up until now show really good growth rates, but not necessarily seeing those growth rates transferred into reductions in poverty or better lifestyles for the majority of people in poor countries. So what we're saying is any new development agenda that the G20 launches, anything that focuses on economic development, which is what we're expecting them to focus on, still needs to focus on the very poorest. So it's not enough to say that countries need to trade more, for example, or that they need more investment. They do need all those things. But you also need to focus on whether the very poorest people are getting connected to markets. So you need to invest in small-scale farming. You need to invest in small businesses, for example.
So, and how much would this cost?
It's not a question of cost as such. It's a question of how growth gets distributed in an economy. But there will still be costs. One of the things that we're concerned about is that the G20's economic agenda won't focus very much, for example, on achieving the MDGs. And that's still important for economic development, particularly if you're a poor farmer or a small business in a developing country, because the things that matter to you are health and education. Those are the sort of building blocks to a viable livelihood.
Gafford has also called for multinationals operating in developing countries to contribute to and not undermine local development and environmental sustainability. What particular examples in a developing nation can you describe that demonstrate this negative impact that they can sometimes have? I mean, I can think maybe of an example of the oil industry in Nigeria, but maybe that's not the most glaring example.
That's a good example, and one of the examples that we use ourselves. But perhaps the most obvious thing that the G20 can do is make sure that these companies are paying their fair share of taxes. The extractive industries that you mentioned, quite notoriously, take quite a lot of the wealth out of developing countries without giving very much back. So we want the G20 to agree to ask companies to report in each country what profits they make and what taxes they pay so that we know that they're paying their fair share.
So, in other words, you're calling for greater financial transparency in the global financial system, is that right?
That's right. And some of the other things that we think the G20 should be doing in the financial system that we don't expect them to do as much as we would like at this summit are dealing with things, for example, like speculation in commodities, so that's sort of prices of basic foodstuffs being affected by traders in rich countries, leading to sort of great fluctuations in food prices. So we'd like to see them really tackle those issues head on, but we're not expecting them to do as much as we would like at this summit.
Another probably contentious issue at this summit is the implementation of stronger regulations for financial institutions, particularly the banking sector. And some Western nations are known to oppose this because they fear it will drive the banking industry from their shores. Do you see that this is going to cause quite a lot of contention?
It's not really a big feature of the agenda at this summit, which is perhaps surprising since this should be the bread and butter of what the G20 is doing. One of the examples of something that we've been asking for as CAFOD is greater taxes on the financial sector, so financial transaction taxes, so that the sector is not sort of overheated. They don't trade too rapidly, too frequently to make lots of little profits if there's taxes on each of those transactions. Then that becomes less of a temptation, but also the sector starts to pay its way in terms of development.
Another issue that the G20 summit leaders are set to discuss is the creation of a global financial safety net. What exactly is that? You know, what form will it take and how important is it?
So this is the idea that we shouldn't have this situation again where countries aren't able to sort of bail themselves out of a crisis. And it's an interesting idea and one that we would support in theory. One of the problems that we have is if you put in place global financial safety nets without looking at working out public debt, then you create the problem that these financial safety nets won't be used to bail out the public sector and public finances, but again will be used to bail out the private sector. So it creates this problem that they might be tempted to do it again because they know that there's a big reserve that will bail out the private sector debt when we'd want it to be paying off public sector debt.
Right, you said earlier that you're not terribly optimistic that the G20 leaders will be that receptive to your appeal and that of other NGOs for more help for the poorest people in developing nations. But overall, do you think at least they may be willing to take on board at least some of the things that you are calling for?
One of the things that we are pleased to see is that there is a development agenda at all at the G20. So the Korean government have done great things in putting development firmly on the agenda. One of the things that the G20 could do to ensure even greater progress on some of these issues is to invite low-income countries that aren't really represented to be fully represented at G20 meetings. At Korea, there have been 5 additional countries that have been invited to this summit, but they don't have the same status as full G20 members, and this isn't something that has become formalized. So we would like to see that happen on a more formal and permanent basis going forward.
Right. Coming to the West, we've seen, you know, how at least in some countries, a recovery after, you know, the global financial crisis is in place, in some places far less so than in others. But what about in developing countries? Are they still feeling the knocks that that caused even 2 years after it first occurred?
Yes, definitely. I think even also in developed countries, we're still seeing that employment in particular tends to lag behind the other factors as they're affected by the crisis. But I think maybe the bigger issue here is that the fundamentals that caused the crisis haven't been properly tackled. So the problems that developing countries had with financial markets, with their integration into the global economy, haven't been resolved. And that's why we'd like to see more ambition from the G20 on some of these financial issues and global economy issues than we're seeing at the moment.
And also perhaps the issue of banking secrecy, because this has been much criticised, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that CAFOD is calling for is for the tax havens, for sort of transparency of tax havens, so that excessive sort of non-payment of taxes by firms can be avoided. So looking at these sort of untransparent regimes and putting together an agreement that these will be tackled head-on and countries can sort of reap their fair share of economic activities within their borders.
I was speaking to Christina Weller, economic analyst at CAFOD.